Korzenowski in for Chad Hartman. I'll be with you for another hour and a half or so, or we'll bring you up till 3 o'clock when Jason DeRussia comes in. Right now, we're going to be joined by Star Tribune writer Reed Forgrave. He has a story in Sunday's paper, trying to explain why a convicted murderer who is still in jail more than a year after the Minnesota Attorney General's Conviction Review Unit recommended he be let out. So joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline is Reed Forgrave. Welcome, Reed.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Dave, and I said, you are the same Reed Forgrave that used to be talking about college football, right?
That's right. More like more college basketball, but it is it's weird. I had this like 8-year departure in my career where I went from, you know, newspaper reporter covering news stuff and features like this to doing Fox Sports and CBS Sports nationally, and then kind of got back to my roots about 6 years ago. And like it's really, I know it sounds like cheesy, but it's really, and there are certainly times where I miss sports reporting. But it's really nice to just feel really connected with your community, which I didn't feel during that time working as a sports reporter.
Right. Well, good. I'm a reformed sports writer as well. I became a lawyer. Now radio kind of like is both. Well, anyway, the story you had in about Brian Pippett, who is one of the three people, I guess, that has been there's been a suggestion that the Minnesota Attorney General's Conviction Review Unit recommended that he be exonerated, but for some reason it's been a little over a year, he is still in prison. Can you explain why that's going on?
Yeah, so I mean, my biggest difficulty in reporting and writing this story is not getting too far into the weeds, so please stop me, because there are many, many weeds to go through in this story, like reading through like 600 pages of a trial transcript from 2001, all sorts of stuff.
Right.
The Conviction Review Unit is something that started by the Attorney General's office in 2021. So it's been around about 4 years. They've had somewhere in the order of 1,200 applications from incarcerated people all around the state, basically saying, hey, I think not just I should be released because I feel like I've paid my debt to society, but I should be released because I'm factually innocent. Most of these, the vast majority of these, go nowhere because, you know, if you're a prisoner and you don't have anything to lose, why not put your name in the hat? There have been three of them that have resulted in a recommendation from this conviction review unit. And two people their sentences have been commuted. Not exonerated, but commuted. And this one remains. And this is Brian Pippett's case. Back in June 2024, so more than a year ago, this conviction review unit came out with a very long, exhaustive recommendation after a 2-year investigation saying Brian Pippett is factually innocent of this crime. And yet here we are, more than a year later. Why is it that Brian Pippett is still in jail? Now, with this case, there is a big why is it, and that's that law enforcement believes that that's not true. They say that this investigation was flawed. Both sides kind of point fingers at the other one, saying you had a conclusion that you wanted to come to, and then you set out to prove your conclusion. The other side, the county attorney, the county sheriff, a group of retired, experienced law enforcement professionals who put together basically a rebuttal to the CRU, they say, actually, Ryan was guilty of this crime, and here's why. This is one of those stories where the further you get in the weeds, the less clear things seem.
No, that is, and I read some of the facts that you put in about the case about it's hard to tell whether there was this horrible murder of this old lady who had this little dollar store. She was brutally murdered. She had obviously suffered greatly before she died. There was a broken window.
Yeah.
There was some other stuff. And then the facts as you laid them out in the story seem really convoluted. And hard to tell what's going on. But at the end of the day, it seems like the law enforcement, this is coming straight from your article, they compiled a 70-page rebuttal to the Clemency Review Commission, and they questioned the independence of CRU, noting it was funded by a federal grant as a partnership with the same Minnesota Innocence Organization that helps represent Pippett. They say the CRU is acting more like a defense attorney than an independent fact-finding group. Well, that's hard to say when the, you said they've got 1,200 of these things and only three of them were recommended for exoneration.
Right, yeah.
What happened to the other two? Did those folks, did the two people that also were recommended for exoneration, yeah, were they both let out of prison?
Yes, they were. And that's because, and this is, again, in the weeds, this is a statewide unit. But these cases are handled by district court.
Yep.
So they make this recommendation, the statewide unit, but then it's up to the district court. So basically, you know, think one of these was a Hennepin County murder, and the Hennepin County Attorney's Office said, you know, basically, we agree with your recommendation, and this man was freed, I think, you know, 2 or 3 months later. So it takes agreement at a local level. There are other avenues that people like Brian Tippett have and his attorneys are going after. The other two avenues are, you know, outside the court system. The court system is how he could be exonerated, which would basically be like the conviction would be you go from being guilty to not guilty. You're the attorney. You know this way better than I do. But there are other, the two other ones are a commutation of the sentence. One would be by the Board of Pardons, which meets this week, which there was a recommendation way back in April by the Clemency Review Commission, which is a statewide commission. And now this week, the governor, the attorney general, and the chief justice will review Brian Pippett's case. That's not to say they're going to say, hey, Brian Pippett was innocent. They're going to say, hey, we could commute his sentence. And then the third option, which seems the least likely of them, is just for the governor himself to just issue a pardon to Brian Pippett. Right now, what's the court case itself has stalled a lot because of the county officials are against freeing him. So right now, sort of Brian Pippett's attorneys are still working toward that. But right now, it's this week's pardons board meeting is sort of the next big step in this process.
And isn't it true that the sheriff who you quoted in the paper and has been the sheriff there since going back to when this murder occurred back in the late 1990s, that he said, it sounded like what he said in your article was, I really don't mind that they let him out, but I mind that they're going to throw out his conviction. Is that, did I get that right?
His name's Dan Guida. He was a deputy back when this murder happened back in 1998. He was pretty, kind of a pretty young, maybe 30 years old or so. Now he's the sheriff. He's been with that department that entire time. He's a National Guard member. He's a guy who's very well acquainted. He lives up in Aitkin County, so like north of Lake Mille Lacs. He's very well acquainted with this area. And that was, in a way, like the most striking thing that he said to me. I met him. The first time that I met him was after the Clemency Review Commission back in April reviewed Pippett's case and made a recommendation to the Pardons Board. He was sitting quietly in that meeting for hours. And afterwards, I kind of chased him out to the parking lot. He was leaving for a National Guard weekend. And he said that to me right away. I don't care if Brian Pippett gets out of prison. It's that he says, Dan Guida, the sheriff, says, I don't want this based on lies. Basically, there were five, according to the prosecution's theory, there were five people involved in this crime. Four of them were not named Brian Pippett, and they served a total amount of prison time that is less than what Brian Pippett is at right now. Brian Pippett has life in prison. He's already been in for, almost 25 years. And I think law enforcement basically says, look, if we as society say we believe this guy has served his time, whether it's because he's 63 and not in good health and let him out for mercy purposes or just the fairness of it, they sort of don't take a position on that. Where they do take a position is with the CRU's recommendation and with what Brian Pippett's attorney say, that not only should he be released, but that he was not guilty in the first place. And that's where, and if you go back to this trial back in 2001, there's two theories, there's two stories. And if you're going to ask me which one I think is true, it's not my job to do it. But honestly, I don't have any know. I have no idea because it's almost like there's two truths in this case.
There is, and it's really interesting. And by one of the things that's also interesting, we got to go then, but is that he didn't even plea bargain. They said, hey, we'll let you plea bargain. This was from your article. You know this.
Yeah.
You can take 7 years, and he said, I'm not admitting to something I didn't do. So that's and that's not evidence necessarily, but he was holding firm, and he's now paid the price for it. And and hopefully maybe he'll be able to get out here coming up soon. But thanks for that article, Reed. Nice to talk to you on the radio, and we'll do it again sometime.
Appreciate it. Good talking
thank
with you.
Reed Forgrave, interesting story. Go read it. And I almost couldn't recite the facts back because the facts are so all over the place that, like you said, there's two completely different stories. It's very convoluted, hard to tell what happened. And all these guys were got deals for pointing the finger at this guy. So he could have pointed the finger at them as well, and maybe he would have had less time. But maybe he didn't do it because that's what he said. When we come back, Northern Minnesota schools and a lot of schools have so many ideas on how they could keep our children safe, but nobody has any money for them. Maybe we as a society should give them that money. We'll talk about that when we come back on 830 WCCO.